This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Evening Show. I am Jack Hillgrove, taking you up until 10:35. Island Contracting Nightly Sports Call. Tonight it's Malzy and Richie Walsh. It'll be simulcast here on The Fan. We're taking you up until then. We were joined by Alex Stumpf talking Pirates in the 7 o'clock hour. We now head back out to the Fan Hotline and find our good buddy, Nick Faribault. PennLive.com covers the Steelers. Nick, it's been a while, my friend. How goes it? How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well, Jack. I'm doing well. You know, it's kind of our dead period here in the NFL season. I'm chilling. I'm laying back a little more nowadays than I was, obviously, in lead up to the draft. But doing well, man. Hope you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched the Pirates lose today, but other than that, I would probably consider myself doing pretty darn well as well. So let's hop right into it. Obviously, the Steelers on the heels of the 2025 NFL draft. I was on Sunday morning and had your colleague Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette on, and I asked about the grade that he would give the Pittsburgh Steelers draft in 2025. So I will ask for your perspective as well. If you had to give Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and company a letter grade for the 2025 draft class right now, and obviously that could change as these guys develop as Steelers, but how would you grade the Steelers draft as we sit here on May 1st?
Yeah, I gave them a B when I wrote that article the day after the draft. I really love their first two picks. I'm a big fan of Derek Carmen and Caleb Johnson. I think their day three is a mixed bag. I'm not a huge fan of the Jack Sawyer pick. Y.A. Black, I think, is fine. He's a rotational nose. Love the Will Howard pick. I think that's great. And then the two seventh rounders, you know, were fine. But I thought it was a solid B. You know, I think what they did this offseason was clearly to show that they wanted to stop the run. And certainly they did in the draft. I mean, adding, you know, guys like Sawyer, Black, and Harmon showcases that. I think they had an identity to do it. I think they got really good value in their first two picks. So I really liked the haul they got. And I think they got some of their better fits overall in terms of the personnel they actually acquired. So I still was a solid draft for Omar Khan and Andy Weidel. I don't think, Mike Tomlin in there. I think it was as value-heavy as it was in 23 and 24. There were some value picks I thought that were really standing out, like Will Howard. I thought Caleb Johnson also was great value. But I thought it really fit what they needed and what the response was to what happened in Baltimore. So I liked this draft for the Steelers. I didn't love it. I would have liked to have seen them attack slot corner a little earlier. Wouldn't have minded them dipping into the wide receiver pool a little earlier. But overall, this was a solid draft in my opinion.
Yeah, you mentioned about the Jack Sawyer pick and you talking about those positions that they, didn't address so much. Is that why you weren't a huge fan of the Sawyer pick? Did you think that they would have been better suited in that spot to go somewhere else in the fourth round?
Yeah, I would have. I know a lot of people talk about how he was great value and a lot of the big experts, you know, had him in the second or third round. I just turn on the Sawyer tape and I see, you know, a mid-day three player. This was any great value pick. You know, the Steelers' reasoning was to have a run-specific edge rusher. I just don't know how much I value that skill set in the modern NFL. I understand the Steelers got absolutely crunched on that, but I thought a lot of it was more schematic than personnel-driven, to be quite honest with you, of why the Ravens were able to beat them up front like they did. I'm not sure, you know, how much of an impact a guy like that has. He's going to probably have, you know, I don't know, 8 to 12 snaps per game. I mean, Nick Herbig is a great pass rusher and certainly is a better pass rusher than Sawyer. I just think Sawyer's upside of the pass rusher's limited. I don't think he's an elite athlete. He's got a very hot motor. He's very strong. He's going to give you that run-specific thing. I'm just not sure that's where I would have attacked it when I had a need at slot corner. You know, receiver is a significant need past this year, not this year necessarily, but past this year, you have a significant need there. You could have even taken an offensive lineman, you know, if you wanted a guard or a tackle to prepare for next year, where say Amal is a free agent and obviously Broderick Jones is heading to a big year. You know, that would have been cool too. I think that they missed an opportunity to draft for the future there, because this isn't even a draft for the future, right? I mean, TJ Watt's not going anywhere. Alex Highsmith's probably not going anywhere. So the Sawyer pick isn't even like drafting for the future, just adding a strength to a strength. I just think that they could have done better. If Sawyer had been that second-round talent that fell to the fourth and they took him, I would be a little more forgiving for that. But in terms of what I saw on tape, you know, I didn't see that. I saw more of, you know, the late four, early five type player, way around where he went. And I just don't value that specific skill set as much as the Steelers did in that selection, in that core. So, yeah, that's kind of my big gripe with that pick overall, Jax.
Yeah, interesting. It's actually a perspective that makes a lot of sense that I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about when it comes to Sawyer, you know, in the last week or so. We're talking to Nick Faribault, who covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, let's kind of talk about actually, we'll go to Derek Harmon first. Obviously, he was the first-round pick. Where did you come down on that selection as opposed to all the people that wanted a quarterback in that spot, especially Shedeur Sanders? And now that Harmon is going to be a Steeler, how does he fit in and make an immediate impact in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I love this pick. I think it's a great value pick plus a great fit. I don't think there was a better fit on the defensive line for them in this class than Derek Harmon. I liked it better than Kenneth Grant. I liked it better than Walter Nolan. They both went before the Steelers. I think they got the best fit for them anyways. So this was a great pick. He would have been the guy I would have picked if I had been picking on the board at 21. You know, if I saw the board the Steelers had and you told me who to pick, I would have picked Derek Harmon. I had the exact same thoughts they did. And he's going to step in here. He's going to be, you know, the base end opposite of Cam Hayward. Canavan's probably going to still stick at nose. And the cool thing about Harmon is, he's not one-dimensional. This isn't a guy that's coming in with strong run defense and needs to work on the pass rush or vice versa. He does both really well. He's a disruptive player. He led the country in pressures last year. He was second in pressure rate. In the run game, he really stands up against doubles. So he gives you to the run defense while not really sacrificing your pass rush. He's just got a really high floor. I think that's the really cool thing about him. This is a high-floor player. You know, these are the types of players that typically go top 15. And because of the shoulder, I think maybe because of the deep D-line draft, he fell a little further than you usually would see a defensive tackle like him. So he's a top 15 player in this class. So he fits in. He's a starter. He's going to give you instant juice in the pass rush. He's going to help you in the run game. So I love the Derek Harmon pick. Great character, of course. We've learned about that over the past week. But he's just a great character. He's going to be a great leader for them. He's the perfect guy to have be the mentee to Cam Hayward. So, I love this pick personally.
Do you think there's a situation, Nick, and you mentioned with Harmon being the end opposite of Hayward and Benton still being over the nose, but there's a lot of people that think if you move Benton, you know, outside, you can start to unlock things there. And because of Harmon's, versatility and being able to play a bunch of positions up front, could you foresee a situation where maybe there are some base packages where Harmon lines up at nose and it's Benton at three technique and then other ones that are vice versa? Or is that maybe counterproductive?
I mean, I think in base, we're probably going to see them stick at the same spot. I think we're going to see Harmon at five or four eye and Benton mostly at the nose. Now, Benton's going to play most of his snaps anyways out of three tech. That's where he does. Usually he's really good in those sub packages. He's got a lot of pass rushes. I think people look at Keanu Benton's numbers and think he's not a great pass rusher, but you dive into the deeper numbers, the pressures, you dive into the tape. I mean, he just needs to finish. Like, that's the thing with him. He's a very good pass rusher. He creates disruption. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of mixing and matching in terms of techniques and things like that. I think Harmon's probably going to stick somewhere between 3 and 5. I think Benton's probably going to stick between 0 and 3, maybe to the 4i every now and then. And Cam's obviously going to do what Cam does. If there's injuries that arise, maybe, Jack, I think that you can easily pop Benton out there. I think Benton is probably more natural out there. And honestly, you know, you think years in the future when Cam Hayward, his contract runs out and Keanu Benton's a free agent, I could easily see them re-sign Benton and then pulling him and putting him out there. So that could be a later evolution. He certainly can do it. He's got that versatility to play up and down the line of scrimmage. But I don't expect that to be a big thing this year where they mix and match guys or throw Harmon at the nose. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
We're talking to Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. All right, some positions that you had mentioned that you wish the Steelers would have addressed in the draft: slot corner, maybe wide receiver, offensive line. I think that there are definite needs elsewhere as we kind of go through this offseason, especially since, you know, the Steelers are down a tackle. They didn't really sign a backup if Faltanu and Jones is left and right, and with Dan Moore gone. How do you think the Steelers will go about this offseason, maybe addressing a little bit more depth at tackle, or maybe just more depth on the offensive line as we kind of approach some team activities here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to see them change that much to that group. I think there's a shot maybe at a veteran, you know, but I think that's more probably down the line. I'm talking training camp, maybe even on the waiver wire pickup, you know, right after the preseason. I think they're going to give guys like Calvin Anderson the ability to win that. I mean, Calvin Anderson got a 2-year deal. I mean, to me, that signifies he's probably going to be the swing tackle. They need interior depth. I think, you know, they have Ron McCollum, who's a pretty solid center. He'll probably also double as a backup guard. And they trust Spencer Anderson. I don't think they're going to do a ton there. You know, I think the door's going to be open for some of those young guys coming in, you know, like UDFAs and stuff. Those guys will have a shot at it. And if everything doesn't go well, they will probably execute some minor trade or pick someone up off the waiver wire before the season. We've seen them do it before, but I'm not sure we're going to see a ton of movement at the offensive line position. Maybe if they can find the right guy. I mean, there's a few players out there, you know, guys like Jedrick Wills, maybe that you could take a dart throw on, that I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But right now, I think they're probably going to stand pat at that, at least evaluate the OTAs, what they have there, before making a signing.
And as far as wide receiver is concerned, obviously the DK Metcalf trade took away their second round pick, but, you know, there was a lot of buzz around George Pickens' name leading up to the draft. Do you think that the fact that he is still a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers post-draft means that the Steelers are planning on 2025 with George Pickens and all that brings with his contract situation and how he could potentially handle that situation?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they added some insurance at least with Robert Woods, but it's not much. You know, Robert Woods is pretty done. I mean, you watch the tape, it's not great. And so I think Pickens really is very likely to stay with Pittsburgh. I do. I mean, we could see obviously something crazy happens. He could go full Brandon Ayuk and that could change everything. I mean, that could happen. But until that happens, I think, you know, we go in to the summer thinking he is going to be a Steeler. You know, maybe you move him at the deadline if you're not good. Sure, that could happen. But right now, I think their plan is to have those two be those two. And I think there's going to be a battle in the slot between Woods, Austin, and Wilson, with Austin having that advantage, to be quite honest with you. So I don't think this receiver room is going to have much movement. If everything goes to plan, I mean, I think your two starting receivers on the outside are going to be Metcalf and Pickens. I think your guy in the slot's probably going to be Austin, and I think you're going to mix in Roman Wilson and Robert Woods there. It's kind of depending on what your personnel is, your game plan is. Woods is going to be a guy that's going to be your consummate professional. He'll be able to mentor guys. I mean, he's going to block behind. I think that really sticks out about Robert Woods. He's basically Van Jefferson, but he actually can block. So that'll be nice to actually have a guy in the run game and at wide receiver that can dig out safeties and be reliable doing it. So the Steelers will have some insurance there if they have injuries, but I'm not expecting George Pickens to really go anywhere, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and Woods also adds a little bit more of a veteran presence as well, which is never really a bad thing. We're talking to Nick Faribault, covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. You can follow him on X at FaribaultFB, and you can read him in PennLive.com. With the exception of quarterback, because obviously I think a lot of fans are upset with the way that that's been handled in the offseason and the whole Aaron Rodgers saga, Nick. If we take quarterback out of this question and we look at what position group might have the biggest holes right now, is cornerback up there for you? And if it is, does a lot of it have to do with maybe, you know, Darius Slay being cornerback two right now, and history doesn't really bode well for cornerbacks that get in to their mid-30s, and, you know, that is never more true with Patrick Peterson, who we saw in a Steeler uniform a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think corner is definitely up there. I think slot corner specifically is up there. I mean, listen, Beanie Bishop got benched for Cam Sutton. If he's getting benched for Cam Sutton, you know, I think you have to kind of temper the confidence you have there. And I thought he had some good flashes, but that's a big question. I mean, it's going to be the battle's probably going to be between him, Dante Kent, who was their seventh rounder, UDFA Sebastian Castro, who actually I like Sebastian Castro. He's probably the name I'd watch the most out of the UDFA group to potentially make a roster push. And then there's Deshaun Jameson as well, who was one of those future signings at the end of January. So it's just not a lush room right now. You know, Brandon Echols, I've seen some people throw in there as potentially having a shot there. And he has 150 career snaps in the slot. I suppose he could be in that room. I'm not really expecting it, but we'll see. So corner's up there, but specifically slot corner. They just have not taken the slot corner position seriously enough. I think O-line depth, you know, we talked about that a little earlier. I think it's a little shoddy. I'm a little worried about the O-line depth if they get some injuries. So that's something I think they should at least look to explore and strengthen. I think those are the two biggest question marks on this team right now, to be quite honest with you, would be offensive line depth and corner, slot corner, though, specifically. I think outside, they're okay. I mean, they have Echols, they have Pierre, they have Trice. I think the outside corner depth's okay. I think, you know, Slay, for what he was doing last year, Slay played at a really high level. He's going to have to really fall off hard to not be better than Dante Jackson, to be quite honest with you. So I think that Slay is going to be just fine. I think the slot's more of a concern.
Well, there you have it. Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. Last question I'll leave you with, Nick. It has to do with the UDFAs. You talked about Sebastian Castro. If you want to throw out a couple of guys elsewhere, you know, in that crop that you like, and if Ben Sauls isn't one of them, man, I'm going to be upset.
I mean, I like Ben Sauls, but I mean, what path to the roster?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, my thing with Sauls is, I mean, you know, you bring him in here, you know, they typically have an extra leg in camp, and if he's available, like, he's obviously used to kicking in the Steelers stadium, so that's just a bonus.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think Sauls is, like, interesting just because, I mean, if he's really good, maybe the Steelers could trade him for a late draft pick. That's an interesting thought. Here's a few guys, though, I really like from this UDFA class. We talked about Castro. He's a really good nickel for Iowa. To be quite honest with you, he should have been drafted. So he's a guy I think that can make a real roster push. Whether that's special teams, he can play safety. He can play slot corner. He's a good player. I like him a lot. Dick Galbraith from South Dakota. This guy's a tight end. He's super athletic. He's a really interesting move piece tight end. I think that's an interesting play. DJ Thomas Jones is a fun player, too, out of South Alabama. He's a true fullback, Jack. I don't know if the Steelers are going to look to roster a fullback, but they gave Thomas Jones the highest guarantee of any non-quarterback UDFA in team history. So they see something in him. He's probably a sleeper candidate to make the team, too. And then the other guy I would throw out is Aiden Williams. We're talking about those UDFA linemen. He's got a shot. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He's really athletic. So he's a guy to watch too. But those for the UDFAs to watch out for. But the guy I'd watch for the most, Sebastian Castro, I mean, listen, the CEO started last year with the UDFA as the starting slot corner. I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the fullback is anything, who was the fullback a couple of years ago that everybody fell in love with that they thought should have been on the team?
Are you talking about Monty Potterball?
Yes, yes. Because he was a fullback, I feel like this fan base fell in love with him. So they'll probably fall in love with this guy as well. I appreciate you, man. As always, Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. Read him in PennLive.com, covering the Steelers. Follow him on X at Faribault FB. I'll talk to you soon, my man. Thanks again.
All right, Jack. Thanks for having me on, brother.
There he goes, Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Yeah, do you remember Monty Potterbaum, Joel? I think he had a mullet, which I think probably sparked the infatuation from a Steelers standpoint with that guy.
Yeah, the mullet, and then he went to Iowa, right? I'm pretty sure he went to Iowa because I know, you know, the Steelers, obviously, they made a couple splashes with the Iowa Hawkeyes this year. Caleb Johnson.
He did go to Iowa.
Picks. They like their...
The mullet on this guy was incredible.
It's almost as if he played at, South Carolina State, I think. All the, half the team is Mohawks or the mullets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think he ended up... Did he medically retire? I think he had to... He didn't even make it to cuts in training camp. I think he had to medically retire from football. And unfortunately for the Steelers' sake, late round pick last year, Ryan Watts from Texas, had to medically retire as well, which just obviously sucks for a young guy trying to carve a path for himself in the National Football League. I'm not necessarily sure how immediate that would have been, you know, from a Steelers' success standpoint, but, you know, for a guy that's... You want to root for to try and make good, man. I mean, that just obviously is very unfortunate for Ryan Watts. And then obviously it happened to Potterbaum as well. Again, you can check out Nick Faribault on X at Faribault FB and then read him at PennLive.com. He does a tremendous job breaking down everything Steelers from, you know, what's going on a week-to-week basis in the locker room to, you know, breaking down film and stuff. Well, Nick is... as good as it gets. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Nick joined us on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You could join us on that Sullivan Super Service fan hotline at 412-928-9370. What do you like? What don't you like about this Steelers draft class? 412-928-9370. And do you think Will Howard is the second coming of a franchise quarterback for the Steelers, like some people think so? 412-928-9370. We'll take your phone calls on the Steelers coming up in the next segment, as well as my individual thoughts on the Steelers draft class and where I could see these guys making an impact in 2025. We're taking you up until 10:35, Nightly Sports Call with Malzy and Richie Walsh. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So obviously this time of year would be a hell of a lot more fun if the Penguins were competitive. It's hard to believe that it's been 3 years since the Penguins have been in the playoffs. Strange to say, especially with Sidney Crosby still at the top of his game, but that's neither here nor there. And that's obviously why Mike Sullivan's about to be the head coach of the New York Rangers. But obviously a lot more fun when the Penguins are involved in the postseason. And in Pittsburgh, obviously, we don't have an NBA team. Joel, I know you're a big NBA guy. Where do you come down on Penguins or no Penguins, just this time of year for sports with both the NBA and the NHL playoffs going on? I think it's underrated here because I think for a majority of Pittsburgh doesn't really appreciate the NBA a whole lot. Now, I could be stepping on toes. There could be people out there that think, whoa, I love the NBA, and that's fine. But I think as a whole, since the city doesn't have an NBA team, the NBA playoffs might get overlooked a little bit. But when the series are good and you've got cool storylines or just storylines like Tyrese Halliburton's dad starting crap with Giannis, makes it entertaining.
This is an interesting time, and I mean, we haven't experienced it too much because the Penguins have been in the playoffs for how many consecutive years
Three.
Was it?
Three.
Or, well, no, how many seasons in a row were they in the playoffs?
Oh, 07 to 22.
So, I mean, gosh, think about it, dude. There were kids who are teenagers who, you know, a couple of years ago, don't know what it was like to not see the Penguins in the playoffs. I think we're still trying to get used to that, just the rest of us maybe, with the Penguins not being in the playoffs. And now there's much more focus on the Pirates. You know, maybe people overlook the Pirates in the month of April because you got the Penguins in the playoffs and stuff. I think we're still trying to get used to all that and everything. I lose a little bit of the NBA and the NHL playoffs at the start, but then I'll start to probably regain that the further we get into the playoffs for those respective series, just because, like, not just the Pirates, but baseball as a whole. That opening day feels like a holiday, and that first full month of baseball from the late part of March to the probably early part of May here, I'm just all zoned in on baseball and not so much the playoffs for NBA and NHL, but gradually I'll start to like thoroughly follow them some more as we get closer to the finals for those series.
Yeah, I ask because we've got like two NHL and two NBA games on tonight. We've got both hockey games on, Vegas and Minnesota and Toronto and Ottawa on in the studio tonight. All right, 412-928-9370. Back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We just sat down with Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. If you missed that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Nick does a tremendous, tremendous job breaking everything down Steelers. You can read him in PennLive.com. And the phone lines are open for you at 412-928-9370, talking about this Steelers draft class and where you come down on the selections that the Steelers made. So pick up the phone, dial 412-928-9370. We'll get you on. We'll start with Jim in the South Hills. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hi. Last year, I was actually at the Iowa State game in Iowa City, Iowa.
How was that?
And I thought it was fantastic. Caleb Johnson has some serious giddy up. He's a very dynamic runner. He actually sort of runs a little bit like Derrick Henry. He's up and down. and he's got that acceleration. And I think Steeler fans are going to be really pleased when they see him up close.
So there's a lot of questions of Jaylen Warren, Jim's ability to be that three down back. If he can't do it and he's still the complimentary piece, do you think Caleb Johnson can be the lead back if Jaylen Warren, you know, were still to be sprinkled in like he was with Najee?
He's certainly a bigger version of Jaylen Warren, and I really sincerely mean this when I say he's a very, very talented running back.
Yeah, that's I share the same sentiments, and Jim, thanks for the call. As we kind of break down the Steelers draft class and look at the way that I think that they could shake out in 2025, that's a name that I'm very high on. That was a name that I had eyed up for the Steelers before the draft, and a name that if they didn't address running back in the first round, which if they would have, like, I think Omarion Hampton's going to be a pretty decent pro. I was shocked that he went to the Chargers. And if I'm Najee Harris, Joe, you ever see the meme of that, like, white monkey sitting on a stool with his hands up? Like, what's going on? One of my favorite memes. That's Najee. Like, you signed, like, a, what, 9-year? I understand it was only a 1-year deal. But I think Najee thought that he was going to go to Los Angeles and be their guy. And they draft a running back in the first round. I couldn't imagine being too thrilled if I'm Najee Harris. I'm glad the Steelers didn't do it, because I think a running back in the first round is, especially in that time frame, well, not time frame, that spot in the draft is counterproductive, because you can get guys like Caleb Johnson in the third round that the Steelers did. So that was a name that I wanted for the Steelers if they did wait on running back, which obviously they did. And I'm glad that they did, because I think Johnson is a guy that can be an every down back and fill that Najee void. Now, it the jury's still out on whether or not he can stay healthy like Najee did. Like, say what you want about, you know, Najee 3.8 yards a carry, and I got on him a ton for that throughout his Steelers tenure, but he was available. He was an available player for the Steelers for the better part of his first 4 years in the NFL, and if the jury's still out of Caleb Johnson has that durability. But you look at him running against some Big Ten teams last year, 6.5 yards a carry, 21 touchdowns in over 1,500 yards. Mind you, too, I mean, Iowa's offense was a little bit better last year, but it was better last year, I think, because in large part of Caleb Johnson. Iowa wasn't setting the world on fire offensively in the Big Ten. In fact, people laughed at Iowa box scores week in and week out in 2023 for how pathetic they were from an offensive standpoint. And Caleb Johnson gets into the fold in 24, and the offense upticks big time. And you look at who he was running against. They got killed by Ohio State 35-7 on October 5th. But in Columbus, Johnson averaged 5.5 yards a carry and scored a touchdown. And as the regular season closed out, 2-touchdown game, 3-touchdown game, 3-touchdown game, 35 for 164 against Maryland is a big time number. Now, he only had 17 for 45 in the finale against Nebraska, but Iowa won that game. But there's some big time numbers on here, man. 21 for 106 early against Minnesota, 25 for 187. Our previous caller, Jim, was at that game. 7.5 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. The dude's a beast, and he stepped into the starting role for the Hawkeyes last year, so it's like it's not like he was beat up for 3 years and then became draft eligible. He didn't receive a big chunk of his workload in college until last year. So at 21 years old, I think Caleb Johnson could be a big-time player for the Steelers and complement Jaylen Warren potentially maybe a little bit better than Najee Harris. And the other thing, too, before we move on to some other guys in the draft class, the offensive line on May 5th, 2025 is hilariously better than it was on May 5th, 2021 when Najee Harris was getting ready for rookie minicamp. So Johnson's in a better situation and I think a better offense from a running back standpoint with Arthur Smith wearing the headset and carrying the play chart. Derek Harmon, I think he's got the potential to be Cam Hayward 2.0. Maybe not to the Hall of Fame resume, and obviously that's a big-time take and a big-time tough call to make. But Derek Harmon, I think, has got the potential to be in a Steelers uniform for the next decade plus, like we've watched Cam Hayward. As far as the fourth round goes, I was a little shocked that Nick Faribault wasn't as high on Jack Sawyer as a lot of people are. And all of his reasons make sense, right? Like, the Steelers from, and this is one of the things that Nick had mentioned, the Steelers from a pure edge run defense standpoint, they struggled, yes, but a lot of that could have been addressed schematically. And that Jack Sawyer's strength as an edge rusher comes more in the run game than it does, you know, rushing the passer like Watt Highsmith and Nick Herbig can do. So I get all of that. But Mike Tomlin used the term Steeler DNA talking about Derek Harmon. Jack Sawyer has that as well. I got to see a ton of Jack Sawyer the last couple of years covering the Buckeyes for WTOV, making the trip out to Columbus. The dude ate, breathed, and slept Ohio State football, and I get it as a Columbus-born and raised kid, but he'll bring that same mentality to the Steelers and bring that Steeler DNA, you know, in a couple of weeks when rookie minicamp starts and as his career starts to unfold for the Steelers. Y.A. Black, I don't know a whole lot about him other than that he's huge. And if they're able to unpack some things there with the defensive tackle from Iowa, it'll allow Derek Harmon and Keanu Benton maybe to settle at three technique or four I, rather than having one of those guys, probably Benton, line up at nose. But you look at some of the bigger guys they've taken and the defensive linemen that they've taken in later rounds in drafts, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out all that well. Like you look at, I mean, the jury's kind of still out for the most part on Logan Lee, sixth round pick out of Iowa last year. But you go to 2021 and Isaiah Loudermilk, and we're still kind of waiting there. He was a fifth round pick. Carlos Davis, seventh round pick, defensive tackle. And if you go back maybe a little bit further, Joshua Frazier, seventh round and 18 defensive lineman. Latarius Walton in 2015 was a sixth round pick, D tackle. Like I say that I said the name like that because I was completely unfamiliar. So for the most part, the day three defensive lineman for the Steelers just haven't panned out, but maybe this kid can buck the trend. I think Will Howard, I want Will Howard to be the Steelers franchise quarterback. I love everything about him. I love his demeanor. I love the way he acts. I love his attitude. I think he's got the potential to overachieve. But to suggest that a sixth round pick could be a what? Franchise quarterback is a lot to ask. I think if the realistic ceiling, and hopefully Johnny the Barber is not listening or he'll call and jump down my neck, I think the realistic expectation for Will Howard is a Mason Rudolph, Landry Jones type career. And if you get anything more out of Will Howard, that's a bonus. And as far as the seventh round guys, Carson Bruner, Dante Kent, I don't know a whole lot about Dante Kent. I know Carson Bruner comes from good stock, but they're seventh round picks and probably depth pieces in 2025 at the most. I mean, you look at the last couple of draft classes, right? 24, Ryan Watts, Logan Lee, Mason McCormick, the Wilsons with Roman and Peyton, Zach Frazier, Troy Fautanu, all of them made the team. Logan Lee and Fautanu dealt with some injury, but they all made the team. 23, pretty much, yeah, all of them made the team. Nick Herbig, Darnell Washington, Benton, Porter, Jones, and then the seventh round guys, Trayson Anderson. And then in 2022, all but one were on the opening day roster, with Chris Oladokun being the exception to that. So if you were to base it based off of the last couple draft classes, I would like to think that all of these guys make the week one roster, the 53-man to start the season. But obviously that can change based off of how off-season acquisitions, free agency, and training camp. That could all, you know, change the dynamic of that very quickly. 412-928-9370. That's the number if you want to chime in on the Steelers draft class. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can listen to Pop and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon, at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Again, that phone number, 412-928-9370. Open phone lines until 10:35, taking you up till the nightly sports call with Richie Walsh and Chris Muller. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. May 1st, 2025. We are a third of the way through 2025. Kind of crazy to believe already, but here we are. Hopefully you guys made out okay with the inclement weather from a few nights ago. If you're still dealing with damage to your homes, thoughts are with you. If you're dealing with, you know, the power being out and you're out in the car trying to grab a little extra entertainment tonight, I appreciate it. Hopefully the power kicks back on for you soon. Crazy stuff. Joel, were you here the other night when that was going on, or what was going on with you guys? Did you guys make out okay?
Everything. So I've got like a little bit of power at my apartment in the South Hills. It's not fully back. Maybe that'll be later tonight when I get home. Maybe it'll be a couple days, whatever. Everything was beginning to get very aggressive a little bit before I got to the station. on Tuesday night, maybe a minute before. I was at a stoplight, couple streets over, and you could see like the wind was getting very aggressive. The rain was getting aggressive. The rain was kind of coming in as like waves, not just like coming down, but like in waves, like just pushing towards the car and everything. And the stoplights, it's one of those where it's like, it's hanging. It's got a wire on the top and on the bottom, but it was sort of waving around a little aggressively, worried if it was going to fall and stuff. So thankfully I was towards the end of my commute to get here when it started to get pretty aggressive. Had to walk from the parking lot inside here though. That's only 30 seconds, but yeah, pretty aggressive. There was the tree down in the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird how it affected different areas differently. Like, it seems like the North Hills got crushed a little bit more than maybe anywhere else, and I could be wrong in saying that, but a lot of my buddies and my girlfriend lives in the North Hills. Like, seeing pictures of trees and power lines all over the place was nuts. And then from out in the Ohio Valley where I live now, I was driving from Steubenville to Wheeling the other night. And by the time I got to Wheeling for the softball that I was supposed to cover, it had started. And they had ended up canceling the games. But in Wheeling, you know, what, 20-some, 25 miles down the road, it was just like any typical heavy rain and maybe a little bit of lightning and thunder going on. Just like your typical moderate-looking storm with a lot of heavy rain. And then meanwhile, back up north in Steubenville, while it was going on, like at our station, nuts. And I was fully, and there were huge, huge trees down throughout, you know, downtown Steubenville and in the surrounding areas in the middle of streets and stuff. And I was fully expecting, because I live in a townhouse, big sliding glass door attached to the living room and trees, like a little shrubbery in the backyard area, but it's pretty close. I was on my way back up to the area and I'm thinking to myself, one of those trees went flying through my glass, sliding glass door, and there's going to be a tree in my living room when I get home. Luckily, I got up there, checked everything out before I went back to the station. Everything was okay. We had power. I don't even know if we lost power. And then there's places and people that are dealing with it for days, which is nuts. And I was able to go home and check real quick before going back to our station because I couldn't get up the hill. There's one way in and one way out. The old WSTV radio tower, and this thing has been out of commission for years, but it's a, you know, it's a decently sized radio tower, fell right in the middle of the street, and they had to clean it up, and nobody was able to get up or leave. It was like that for a couple of hours. I mean, it's a decently sized, probably 40, 50, 60 foot radio tower, just fell down.
I couldn't imagine if that was an active station.
Yeah, no, I mean, the WSTV radio has been out, I mean, for probably close to 50 years, if I had to guess. And it was just there kind of for nostalgic reasons. But yeah, and then we just had a text. Benny Fierro's on East Carson, the roof came off, street was blocked off, Fiore's Pizza. I believe that building, Andy Lindbergh had a story on it, I believe that building was condemned. And, you know, I grew up in, you know, I went to Baldwin, I grew up in the South Hills, and Fiore's in Brookline. Like, that was our pizza, man. And I grew up on that stuff. And yeah, the family, I know that family really well. I'm heartbroken for them. I actually DM'd Dave Portnoy. I didn't figure that he would, you know, see it, but I know that he left a pizza review there. And I figured, you know, he donates money all the time. I sent him a clip. Channel 4 had an Instagram reel of a soundbite with Mr. Fiore. So I sent him that. I sent him a, you know, if there's anything you can do. You know, these guys are going to need a new roof. I don't know if he'll ever see it, but it's out there. But yeah, my heart definitely goes out to those guys and all the people that were affected throughout the storms this week. So hopefully you guys are hanging in there. 412-928-9370. If you're looking for a little late night company, we're talking all things Steelers draft. We're talking about the Pirates falling 8-3 to the Cubs today. They're on pace for 100 losses in 2025, a fifth of the way, 20% through the season. And we're also talking Penguins, and we're going to get into that in the next hour as well. What you are looking for, qualities, traits, maybe a specific name in mind, what you're looking for in the next head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. 412-928-9370. I'll list off a couple of names. We'll weigh some pros and cons. And again, the phone lines are wide open at 412-928-9370. for you as well. Nothing new on it since Emily Kaplan of ESPN reported it a couple of hours ago, but it looks like Mike Sullivan and New York would probably take a miracle for it not to get done. According to Emily Kaplan for ESPN, her and Kevin Weeks, sources are telling them both that Sully and the Rangers are in advanced contract talks, and it's expected to be one of the richest coaching contracts in NHL history. And I don't think there's anything new on that since she put that out on X 2 hours ago. Oh, here we go. Sounds like John Tortorella is a strong possibility to rejoin the organization as well. David Quinn not expected to follow Sullivan to New York, but is a head coaching candidate, including in Pittsburgh. So a little bit to unpack there. We'll do it next at 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Evening Show with you until 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.